رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. ربي يسر ولا تعسر، وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتاح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. Let's continue with the tafsir of Surah Abasa with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learned in the last five ayahs how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us how He subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with one drop of semen, how He perfected us. He made an easy way out for the child to come into this world. Then He makes us die and He will resurrect us again at the Day of Judgment. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَهُ. Nay, but man has not done what he commanded him. He spends all his life enjoying the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What not blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, but look at him as he never paid attention to the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. He is so ignorant that till today he failed to recognize his master. I feel so surprised about atheists and so very surprised about non-Muslims. How old they get? 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, and some even live 100 years or more. I wonder in all these years they didn't find one chance to say La ilaha. And these chances do come in person's life. Moments of grief come, happy moments come. He faces illnesses, difficulties. He faces ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, how cruel, how stubborn man is. Even iron melts, rocks break. And he did not get to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands even once. Doesn't it look like they are being hammered so hard? Think hard, ponder over your creation. Who were you and what you pretended to be? A person will bow down in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only if and when he remembers his reality. A man should see his high-held head with pride and arrogance and his style of walking in such of arrogance. You see, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives someone wealth or a position or a job, then his behavior changes totally. At that time, we should think of these ayahs. Enjoying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings is a different thing. But showing off an arrogance is entirely a different thing. See, in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the inner arrogance of a man. He thinks himself above all, so big that he does not consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands important. What does he think of himself? Now you take this upon yourself. What is this style? Oh, she said this to me. Most of the time we stayed annoyed from our family on such petty issues. Like, oh, she didn't invite me. She didn't give me importance. And she made me sit at the back, etc. Now you ask yourself at that time. See, everyone has a natural self-relieving system attached to them. Approximately, the filth stays in there for at least 2 to 3 hours. When our food gets digested after eating, then we do not feel like relieving ourselves right away till it completely digests and from our stomach it enters into the big intestine. Then it enters into the small intestine. At the end of it is man's private part from where man's waste is excreted out. There are two exits, right? Urine and the other is of stool. Till the digested food arrives at the exit, it has to pass through several miles of intestines. And even during that time, food is tackled by different processes. If someone eats only one meal, even then that filth will stay inside for several hours. So how does arrogance soothe him? If someone farts, it is so hard for himself to tolerate his own smell that wind upon exiting breaks someone's wudu. So does that person has the right to show arrogance? Does he have the right to think himself big? Does he have the right to grieve over what others say? Little things bother us so much. It is just because we do not realize our reality. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, evaluate yourself. What is your worth? It didn't even occur once to him that who created him? Then he acts stubborn and say that God's concept is very new and I do not think that God even exists. I am my own God. I will dictate myself with no interference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that neither he has any control over his birth nor his death, nor on his resurrection and what he thinks of himself. Allah gave him so much. Allah gave him reasons, resources, body, mind, strength, heart and brain. But after getting everything, even then he was unable to differentiate between khair and shar. Is there any soul more stubborn than him? Do you have any control over producing your own children? No matter how bad you want children, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want, you cannot have them. You can make all the efforts in the world. You are neither in control, nor you have any say in coming into this world, nor any say for leaving this world. Or can we choose the style we want to die in? We all want and desire the death of a shaheed, right? That's a different story that we cannot even think of stepping into battlefield. Don't want to take path of knowledge and learning. We will never wish to die while we are at Hajj and Umrah. Yes, we do desire, but we do not like. No one wants to die in an illness. So forget about death. We do not even have any say or control over the way we will die. Does anyone want to die in burning fire? Does anyone want to die in a plane crash? Or die because of drowning? So, oh man, when you cannot do anything, then worry. Who are you and what is your reality? Leave everything and come back to yourself. If we did not extract submission from this journey, then we did not learn anything beneficial till we learn to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. Then there is another meaning to the last ayah we are talking about. Kalla lamma, nay, yaqdi ma amarah. But man has not fulfilled his obligation of what he was ordered. This is one of the sense too, that he is unable to carry out the obligation what he was ordered to do. What was the order? It was the instinctive guidance. Alastu bi rabbikum. Believe on Allah. Obey Allah's commands. To read and understand the books which came through prophets. When he didn't do this, then what else he will do? Allahu Akbar. See, till now, Umm Maktoom is being discussed. First, in regards to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now the ayahs we are reading are to Kafare Makkah, which were sitting there with arrogance and chip on their shoulders. You came to get guidance with this attitude? Forget it. You will only get guidance if you act humble. Do you know how was Umm Maktoom related to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He was Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha's paternal aunt's son, meaning her first cousin. Such close relationship. You can say a way he was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's brother-in-law and a member of a respectable family. Note here that he was not an ordinary or average man. It is not that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ignored him just because he was blind or he was a stranger. It was nothing like that And despite of all the facts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked in so much detail about him. Now from now onwards, talked about the things of the universe. These surahs are revealed to break us, to melt us. And if we start counting ayahs, that how many we have done and how many are left, then the purpose will not be served. The need of the hour is that we should ask ourselves questions as we move along with the ayahs. Search your souls, that how much of it I will obey, what part of it will play in my life. Am I ready to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why now things of the world are mentioned. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طُعَامِهِ. Then let man look at his food. Not just keep on eating, but ponder over it too. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, is it an ordinary thing? So you eat it, then try to ponder over it. How it was created. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not provided the resources, then was it up to the man that he would have been able to create this on his own? Absolutely not. Man does not have the ability. First thing is, whatever you eat, ponder over it. You have to do it too. Whatever you are going to cook, or have to ponder over it. Then said, Anna swababina al-ma'a swabba. We pour forth the water in abundance. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّى. And we split the earth in clefts. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا. And we caused therein the grain to grow. So many stages. وَعِنَبًا وَقَدْبًا. And grapes and clover plants. That is green fodder for the cattle. وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا. And olives and date palms. وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا. And gardens dense with many trees. وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبًّا. And fruits and herbage. And what are all of these? مَتَاعٍ لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. To be a provision and benefit for you and your cattle. What? Now pay attention to what I am about to say. You eat leaves and animals eat fruit. It could have been possible, right? Because poor animals are not going to commit sins, so feed them delicious sweet things. And since man is unthankful, so feed him grass, fruit peels, leaves, etc. Right? It could have been possible. But what happened instead? Animals were fed. What was rejected by us? Word Abba was used. The grass and the weeds which grow itself and is eaten by animals. What animals do after eating what? And what do you do after eating what? Do you ever think about it? Come and think about the day when you will be asked about the blessings given. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةُ. Then when there comes a sokha, the second blowing of the trumpet on the day of resurrection. Imagine this. What was in the last surah? الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. And here is what? الصَّاخَة. Then يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. That day shall a man flee from his brother. يَفِرُّ. To flee. From whom? أَخِيهِ. From his brother. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. And from his mother and his father. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. And from his wife and his children. Write down the name of every relationship there is. We all have the same relationships. Write names of each one of them underneath. and you are running away from them. And why are you running away from them? That they might ask you your good deeds. Why it happened like this? All those relationships which were so near and dear to you guys throughout life took care of them, but now running away from them. Because لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Every man that day will have enough to make him careless of others. One meaning, and what is the other? Each of them will be in a condition which will make them careless for mothers. Make us careless of our own relatives, friends, mother and father. Just imagine, in a narration it is said that Prophet ﷺ said, everyone will be in Medanih Mahshar. Think of yourself in it. In which condition? Naked. No clothes on the body so that they can get rid of them. Bare feet, no shoes. Maybe he can give it to his wife to get rid of her so she can pawn it for anything. On foot, no transport, without being circumcised, meaning in the same condition in which he came in this world. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, won't they see each other's private parts? Upon that, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the same ayah, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Aisha, people will be in such a condition that they will not be bothered by anyone and will be careless of others. It is a narration from Tirmidhi in regard to the tafsir of this ayah. See, even in this world, if someone is in extreme grief or pain or suffering, then does he remember what anyone else wore? And other tafsir of it is that people will run away from their family, that the family should not witness the severity of his pain and sufferings. So the first meaning is that they will not be in their senses to feel, and everyone is worried about themselves. And the other is that others should not witness their pain and suffering. And the third one is that they will have the realization that they cannot benefit anyone today. So they will desire for anyone not to see them. It might happen that someone might ask them for good deeds. They will not be able to give. So to avoid that embarrassment, they would rather not face anyone. In this world, we are so ready to help others at any given time. But what will happen there? What will happen there? All the things of the world discussed earlier, through them how we are taught and which had been engraved in our nature to help each other. Sunlight hits the sea waters to make steam, to make clouds. Then winds carry them around the world. Steam condenses upon getting cold, and then it rains. The rainwater goes into the earth and exits out in the form of wells and streams. Then it flows in the forms of river and bayous. So all these things demonstrate that everything in the universe is in sync to help each other. And right after it was said, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. All the ties will be broken that day. It looks like the way the tie which keep the solar system intact will be broken. The same way, ties of kinship will be broken too. No one will feel pity on anyone, whether kids are crying or anyone is asking for help. Then slitting of earth is talked. How a farmer plants seeds. A tiny plant comes out of the earth after rupturing the earth. Then it grows and bears fruit or vegetables. which is used by us, and plants are eaten by animals. But again, at the Day of Judgment, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, no coordination with anyone, no connection will be left with anyone. In this world, one greenery which is eaten by animals and humans alike, everyone is benefiting from it, right? But at the Day of Judgment, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, but no one will benefit anyone. It feels like that people will become relentless, inhuman, black-hearted and unkind. And as-sakha is the last blow of the trumpet. There will be three blows in the trumpet, right? Out of which two of them we learned earlier. This will be the last, and after listening it, all the dead will be alive again. In Surah Al-Ma'arij, ayahs from 10 to 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. And no friend will ask a friend about his condition, though they shall be made to see one another, that is, on the day of resurrection. There will be none but see his father, children and relatives, but he will neither speak to them nor will ask them for any help. The mujrim, criminal, sinners, disbeliever would desire to ransom himself from the punishment of that day by his children and his wife and his brother and his kindred who sheltered him and all that are in the earth so that it might save him. Criminals will be running, and by running it means that all those relationships in this world which were so near and dear to us, we run to help them in their hour of need. But at the Day of Judgment, people will run away from them, in fear of that someone might ask help from them. Fourth meaning is that people will be running from their bad end result. They will not want anyone to see their bad results, so they are not humiliated. And moreover, so no one can pin their misguidance on them. In a narration, it is said that one woman will take four men with her to Jahannam as a sister, as a wife, as a daughter, and as a mother. No one will be in their senses and will not care. Now take it upon yourself. You know many people will land in Jahannam just because of one shot of their righteous deed. That time, they will request of the time so they could go and ask for that so needed righteous deed from any of their relative in hope that they might be able to borrow from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them that time. He will go thinking that what is one deed? I will be able to get more than that. That's what we think in this world, and that's what happened. We love our friends and relatives and we go out of our ways to help them. But it will not be the case there. He will return to his book of deeds embarrassed, without any righteous deed, as no one, not his children, not his wife, not his parents, and certainly not his friends, will let him borrow that one deed. Then at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask angels to bring that thing, he kept it hidden from him. There are 2 to 3 narrations. In one, it is said that angels will bring a pearl and will be asked to put among his good deeds. He will think, the way everyone left me alone and now I have been made fun of the same way. What difference will that one pearl make on that big scale? But to his surprise, the moment that pearl will be put on the scale, the side of the scale of righteous deeds will become heavier. because of that pearl, and he will be ordered to send to Jannah. Then he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was that favor, that rahmah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer, that is not a favor, and is indeed your good deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will explain that, remember that night everyone including you were sleeping. Then my khashiyat woke you up. Then you stood up on the praying mat, and because of my fear, a tear came out of your eye. He will say, yes, I think it happened. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I saved that tear in the form of pearl for this day, because I knew this time will come when no one will help you. When we cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala value that? And when we cry in front of people, then how they discredit it and make it so invaluable. No one likes a crying person. In some narrations it is said that at that time, all those du'as which were not granted acceptance during his life will be brought and put on the scale. And because of that, he will be granted a certificate of Jannah. At that time he will say, I wish none of my du'a was granted acceptance during my lifetime. He will be given clearance for Jannah, will be given a no objection certificate. Now we have to decide today. Because of our children, we are staying away from Quranic education. We postpone our obligations in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will happen later? Throughout the surah, I was envying Umm Maktum. Allahu Akbar. What was he, and what honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, and how he subhanahu wa ta'ala did it. Do you know what happened with him later? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give him such honor that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand up upon his arrival. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to take good care of him, used to treat him with special care. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him twice, that whenever Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for war, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed him his deputy. Because he was unable to go to the battleground, then he used to regulate Medina's system. He was known as a governor of Medina. His end was also very fascinating. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that he saw Umm Maktum in the war of Qadisiyah. It was fought after the death of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the condition he was in, we should put ourselves in that position. A blind man in the battleground. How? Wearing an armor, holding a black flag. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, when he came and asked Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach him some good, that time leaders of Quraysh were sitting with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not pay attention to him, and he was martyred in the Qadisiyah war. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to serve our deen the same way, with that much dedication and ikhlas. Ameen. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that he heard from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Bilal called the azan when it is still night, meaning early morning. So you guys keep on eating sehri till you hear Umm Maktum's azan. He is that blind Umm Maktum about whom the Abasa wa tawalla and ja'ahu al-a'ma was revealed. He was mu'azzan. He couldn't see. People used to inform him after seeing morning signs. So then he used to do azan. Umm Maktum's name was Abdullah. Some say it was Amr too. From here we learned the rehabilitation of handicapped people too. Islam has worked extensively on it. Handicapped people were given the work according to their bodily demands. What we do is that we just exclude them to one side. We are so very impressed when we see the wheelchair accessible ramps, convenient handicap parking in the West, that they give them so much respect. But this was taught by Islam. But putting off someone based on his ability of not to do a certain thing is wasting his ability. See, he has brain, heart, and some particular skills, right? So never make fun of such people. Now the last ayahs of the surah, and we have lesson for us in them. You will also notice that end of all the surahs is almost the same. Start and end is similar. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ. Some faces that day will be bright. True believers of Islam. The word musfirah is the same which you just studied. Safarah. Bright, clear, opened. ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. Laughing, rejoicing at good news of paradise. وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ. And other faces that day will be dust stained. تَرْحَقُهَا قَتَرَةٌ. Darkness will cover them. Who are those ill-fated people? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. Such will be the kafara, disbelievers in Allah, in His oneness, and in His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fajara, wicked evildoers, people of iman's face will be bright, because they will get their book of deeds in their right hand. They will be certain of their success in akhirah. Their faces will be showing clear signs of happiness, and faces of kuffar, faces of the people who carried out the animosity with their prophets, faces of the people who made additions to their deen, who invented new things in their deen, will be dusty. You see, pain and suffering makes a person's face black, does not stay fresh, wrinkles start appearing. Their faces will be dusty with regret at the day of judgment, that they wasted their lives. The people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His prophets and denied the day of Qiyamah, for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, will have a bad end result. What did the whole surah give us? Do your islah before you leave this world, and you find it the hard way when you will be dealt harshly. We have to see ourselves in the scenario of the day of judgment. Where we stand and what could be the outcome of our book of deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us do our islah before our time is up. Ameen, summa ameen. Let's listen to the recitation of the surah, and while listening, think what difference it made, especially after doing tafsir. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم نتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى وما يدريك لعله يزكى أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى أما من استغنى فأنت له تصدى وما عليك ألا يزكى وأما من جاءك يسعى وهو يخشى فأنت عنه تلهى كلا فمن شاء ذكره في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة قتل الإنسان ما أكفره من أي شيء خلقه من نطفة خلقه فقدره ثم السبيل يسره ثم أماته فأقبره ثم إذا شاء أنشره كلا لما يقض ما أمره كلا لما يقض ما أمره فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه أنا صببنا الماء صبا ثم شققنا الأرض شقا فأنبتنا فيها حبا وعنبا وقضبا وزيتونا ونخلا وحدائق غلبا وفاكهة وأبا وفاكهة وأبا متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم فإذا جاءت الصاخة يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه وجوه يومئذ مسفرة ضاحكة مستبشرة ووجوه يومئذ عليها غبرة ترهقها قترة أولئك هم الكفرة الفجرة.